Good morning. I don't imagine a lot of our younger people remember 3 Minute a Baby, but I certainly did. And as I was preparing for this, I thought about what would my transition video be, and that one was good. And it came to my mind because I was thinking about when I very first had my first child, my daughter, and I used to sing to her, but it wasn't natural for me to go up and sing to her. You know, I listened to Jennifer sing "Jesus Loves You" at night, and I remember over a period of time, I said, "Well, I probably need to do this as well." And so the first time, I know that Jennifer's on the other end of that monitor, and so I'm in there and I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to sing because, how can you not sing to this beautiful child? And I'm singing so soft and such a whisper, so Jennifer can't hear me on the other end of that. So it was a neat memory for me there. The other thing that I watched that and I'm like, now for those of you that don't know, I've got 3 children, a 15-year-old, a 13-year-old, and a 10-year-old. And I'm thinking, man, 3 dads, that would be awesome. I could assign one. You take that one, you take that one, and I'll take the youngest. It was a funny moment for me. But, as I was, getting ready to prepare for this week, I intentionally said that I chose the name My Daddy on purpose, not My Father, because I want to talk about God in a little more intimate setting to us personally. I hope that you guys enjoy the message. Before we get started, let's pray. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to come up and share your word with everyone. Lord, I just ask that I get out of the way, and that through the studying and through my relationship with you, that you might use these words in a wonderful way, that we might all walk away from today with a special message to us, that we might spend the next 20 minutes or so seeing you more as Daddy. So what's the difference? Last time I got up and talked, we were doing the series on parables, and so I got up and it was a great experience. Thank you all for not throwing things at me. I couldn't wait to do it again. And so, I left church that day and some people said some wonderful things to me. And so I emailed Sally and I'm like, hey, I'd really like to speak again, but I'd like to speak for more than just 1 week, maybe 2 weeks. And that way I can have a kind of a message that I can build on as opposed to just one. And so she said, absolutely. We looked at the calendar and she said, well, I've got these 2 weeks here. This is the 2 weeks before music camp. And music camp is actually on Father's Day. And so I was like, oh, well, I'll talk about dads. Great, because I don't know if you remember or not, the last time I spoke, it was on Mother's Day. And I knew for 6 weeks that I was going, what parable I was going to talk on. And I knew when I was going to talk. But in that 6 weeks, I had no I never realized that it was Mother's Day. And so I don't know if you realize or not, but the last time I got up here, I stood up here for 25 minutes, talked, and never mentioned the fact that it was Mother's Day. So I'm like, I'm going to talk about Father's Day. That's going to be the center of what I'm speaking about is going to be fathers. And that's really easy because the Bible is full of fatherhood things. And so, but then as I thought more about it, I said, I want to talk about this more intimate side of fatherhood. I don't want to talk about fatherhood. I want to talk about daddies. And so I can't make it easy on myself and just go fatherhood where I've got like 17 books that I can use. I've got to go more intimate, and that forced me to do more introspection. It forced me to kind of ask myself some more questions. And so that's basically what we're going to go through today is kind of my experience as I went through and studied. And so, the first thing that comes to mind is what's the difference between father and daddy? So the definition of father, it's a formal definition, a man in relation to his natural child or children. Daddy is the informal, and it's just one's father. But I like the sub-definition. It's the oldest, biggest, best example of something. That is the daddy of all potholes, right? And so, that's kind of cool when you think about, obviously I can talk about God as being the daddy of everything. He is the biggest, the best of what we've got going on. And so, let's see here. Oh, not yet. Back. So as a lot of you know, and some of you may not know, I didn't grow up in church. I didn't have a youth church experience, but my wife did. She grew up in the church that her grandparents started, Westlink Church of Christ in Wichita, Kansas. And over the years, she would tell me stories about growing up in church because I had no idea what it was like. And so sharing those things with me, understanding what our children are going through. And she's got lots of neat stories. And one I'll share with you, and I got permission, by the way. She shared with me that when she was in youth group, one of the things that they did to keep themselves entertained and out of trouble is as the elders of the church would come up, and this is, you know, she's growing up in the 80s in a Church of Christ in Kansas, so it was a very formal environment, they would count fathers. And I'm not talking about the dads in the audience, right? They would wait for somebody to start praying, and they would count how many times they said, "My Father, oh Father, Father God." So I'm not sure if they were betting lunch money or not, but I don't know if there's an over-under, but they were counting them. And so I guess, I won't say bad habits, I guess habits die hard, because a couple of weeks ago, Memorial Day weekend, we were in Kansas for Jennifer's grandmother's 90th birthday. And as we do every time we're in Kansas, we Sunday morning we get up and we go to Westlink Church Christ. Jennifer and I sit next to each other, and the communion prayer starts, and I've got my head bowed and my eyes open. And what do I see next to me but my wife's hand just going, one, two, three. I guess the lesson there is you never get out of youth group at church, right? You're always where you used to be. So, let's see. I told that story. I had a very opposite experience growing up, right? Like I said, I didn't grow up in church. I didn't grow up understanding the definition of daddy. So on the personal side, for me, I didn't grow up churched. My father was a musician, so he was in and out of the picture. He would tour and those kinds of things. And when I was 8 or 9, my parents got divorced. And so my dad was just not there one day. And there was a period of time, several years there, before my mother met another gentleman and the man that had become my stepfather, who really entered into my life in the early teenage years. And you know, I never would think that I would call him daddy, right? He was more of a disciplinarian. I give him credit with making me a lot of the man that I am, right? He taught me manhood, but he was never an intimate daddy figure to me, right? And so So when I started studying about this and as I became a father, you know, I didn't understand the intimacy there that God was looking for. Change my page. So not having any background in the concepts of the Almighty God as something other than the God of the universe, the Almighty. As I started to go to church with Jennifer, as I was starting to become a husband, as I was starting to become a father, God started showing me things. And so he showed me stuff like Galatians 4. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, as though he is the owner of everything. But he's under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. God is telling me that I'm an heir. I'm a son of his. That's a message that I'd not heard before. And I read Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. When you know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. And then the psalm continues, For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame is not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, you saw, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. And so God is revealing his knowledge of me, his intimate knowledge of me. This isn't a God that is just concerned with the big picture. He knows who I am. He formed me. He knows my words. And so that's a start to go from this unchurched mindset of God as this figure of the creator of the universe, and you start to understand the intimate knowledge. And I know that a lot of you guys out here have been in church for a really long time. And so it's, you know, for me standing up here, it's like, well, of course, right? You know, like I'm talking to all these people out here who know all this. But for me, it was a transformative journey to start to understand the way that God sees me and the care that he has for me. And so I started to learn that this God that I thought was too big for me, too busy for me, just might want to know me. More frighteningly, that he probably already did know me. Now, as I was going through the spiritual discovery, at the same time, I'm learning about fatherhood firsthand. I'm becoming a father. I'm seeing the recognition in my daughter's eyes when she knows that she's looking at her daddy. And I'm starting to find joys in some of the less enjoyable parts of parenthood. You know, when you got to wake up in the middle of the night and go and feed a child. And you've got to, a Walter's term here, you've got to deal with a blowout diaper. You know, but it's such a privilege to be able to do that because you're caring and you're loving this new person and it's very rewarding. You know, it was very eye-opening for me to experience and I'll never forget not the first time she said dad, not the first time she said daddy, but the first time she said da. And that was it. That was dad. She could have been caught talking about, you know, a cow, but that da was dad for me. And so, here I am reading the word of God and reading about his intimate knowledge of me, and it really comes alive. It's not words on the paper. It's not digital data on the screen. You know, this is God telling me that I know you. And that I want to be that intimate part of your life. And so, it was a very wonderful experience to start to realize that. One of the things that I imagine a lot of the parents in here have experienced is, providing. And I remember vividly the moments of clarity when I transition from an individual that is responsible for just making sure that, you know, they don't kick me out of my apartment and that I've got enough gas to get to work. Jennifer can tell you how many times my phone was caught off, not because I didn't have money, but just because I didn't know that I was supposed to pay the bill by that date. And you have this very self-centered view of yourself and your universe. It's just you. And then that I remember very clearly the day that I said, this baby is not going to eat unless I feed it. This human being is 100% dependent on me to provide everything that she needs. And Jennifer and Lauren and myself, we pick up when Lauren is 3 months old and we move from Dallas-Fort Worth to Greenville, South Carolina. We don't know a soul. We don't have a friend in the world. And I've got a job, and that was again an incredible feeling of isolation and responsibility. You know, even more so. You know, when you're in DFW and you've got mom and dad and all those people. You know, if something goes wrong, you got somewhere to run. Well, not now. Now you're out here on this island, and so I remember the drive that I had to provide. It didn't matter what my job asked me to do, I would do it. It didn't matter if I liked my boss, I went to work because failure was not an option. I was going to provide for my family. That was my job, right? And it's a very weighty responsibility, but it's also very fulfilling when you provide. And so fast forward 15 years, and I'm studying for this message today about God as my daddy, and I'm continuing to learn, right? I'm continuing to see what he tells me about things. And I read Matthew 14. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This place is desolate and the hour is already late. So send the crowds away that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Ordering the people to sit down on the grass, he took 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up towards heaven, he blessed the food, and breaking the loaves, he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they ate and were satisfied. They picked up what was left over, the broken pieces, 12 full baskets. There were about 5,000 men who ate, besides women and children. And I see God providing, right? And I read Isaiah 25. "You've been a refuge for the poor, a refuge for the needy in their distress, a shelter from the storm and a shade from the heat, for the breath of the ruthlessness like a storm driving against the wall." So I see that God provides. Psalm 145, "Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed to him." And again, I see that God provides. First Samuel chapter 2, "He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ashes, the ash heap, to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world." And so I see that again, God provides. And I see that God is personally interested in my well-being. The way that I look at my daughter and say, "I don't care what it costs, I am going to make sure she is taken care of." God has done the same thing for me. He has said, "I'm going to take care of you." He has promised me that he's going to take care of you. And so as I study for this, I start to even grow closer, and I understand that I can look at God and call him daddy. I can have that intimate relationship, that those things that I felt as a young father 15 years ago, and the weight and the responsibility and the intimacy and the closeness that I wanted, that our God wants the same with me. There's really no difference. You know, God is standing back, and the same love and just the overwhelming feeling that I had the first time I picked up my child, and she looked at me and I knew that she saw me. I see God, right? I see that moment when I look to God and I'm vulnerable and I want him close to me. I imagine that same smile that crossed my lips crosses his. That the desire to protect her is the same that God has for me. He wants to protect me. He wants to provide to me. And as they grow up, you know, they don't say daddy as much anymore. They don't depend on you as much anymore. But there are times that even now at 15 years old or 13 years old or even 10 years old, all of a sudden they say, "Daddy," and my ears perk up because that's not the word they normally use. They need something from me. You know, as we go through and, you know, we have those intimate moments with God, I'm taking a change in approach sometimes. You know, I'm not always going to say, "Father," I'm not always going to say, "Dear Lord." Sometimes I'm going to start with daddy because just like I was willing to do whatever it took to give my kids what they need, well, we'll let John tell us. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." See, I'm not trying to change your approach. I'm not trying to change how you talk. I'm not saying that he's not the creator. I'm not saying that he's not powerful. I'm not saying that hands and knees aren't needed. But every once in a while, he's just daddy.
My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart, for it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your father, and I love you even as I love my son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been father, and will always be father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your Almighty God.